This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Serious subject now, Tom. 112 lives have been lost on Victorian roads so far this year, which is far too many. And out there keeping us safe every day are the Victoria Police Highway Patrol, including our guest in the studio. And you may have heard her voice on Joy's The Glow Show podcast before. Good morning, leading Senior Constable Beck Lawther.
Thanks, and good morning to you guys. It's so nice to bring a little bit of the Glow Show podcast to live breakfast radio. It's a bit special.
Yeah, well, it's too early in the morning, isn't it?
It is a little bit. And also, I know that you were talking about listening to your own voice before, and I've listened to my own podcast sometimes, so I've decided to talk for the rest of the time here with an English accent instead.
Good on you, Governor.
All right, we're just patrolling the roads now, innit? Okay, enough of that.
Beg, the first of the new BMW police cars have been rolled out.
They are starting to come out. Yes, they're amazing. So we've got the X5, which is like the big the wagon, SUV, two-rack tractor type thing. And then we've got the 5 Series, which is amazing. It's got all this scanny technology in it, fully kitted out, leather seats and everything.
Have you scored one yet?
Not yet. No, our cars haven't gone through the process of transitioning.
Should bring out like Mario cars.
Yeah.
I want to see the police in little bumper cars, you know, trying to.
Do you think?
Well, I want to make sure my Vespa 125 I can outrun. No, that's not true at all. I would never do that.
You'll lose. Yeah.
How do they compare to the old Holdens and Fords?
Oh, look, I mean, I've got a bit of a soft spot for the V8 Holdens. You know, obviously we've had them for quite some time, so it's going to be a bit sad to see them go. And everybody's taking photos with them and transitioning into the new European cars. But they'll certainly be comparable. The technology in them is fantastic, and they're specifically designed for us. So that's great. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to them, especially the X5s. Get a little bit more height. You know, look into other people's windows.
And you'll be able to drop kids off.
You're going to see everyone on their mobile phone. I tell you, in my little Vespa, because I get to line split now, like get to the front. Mm-hmm. If I go past 11 cars, I'll guarantee 9 of them are looking
on
their phone.
Crazy stuff. Looking at in your lap? That is not a loaded question, but I'm assuming it's a phone.
But I think, isn't it funny that you do actually see them at the lights and you think because you're holding it down in your lap, it's so obvious head's down.
What are you, sleeping?
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say that to people, but I do. Are you having a nap at the lights or I'm just checking Facebook? There was a guy the other day on 2 phones.
Does anyone actually say, sorry, officer, I've made a mistake?
Yeah, they do.
Because I love that highway patrol you see at night. And the best one is where they go, but I wasn't. Do you know what I mean? And you go, the policeman saw it, a camera crew. You know, like there's about 18 people standing there. But I didn't. You go, I can see you.
Look, at the end of the day, the amount of times people use their phone and then get caught, when you get fined, it's probably cost you 50 cents for every time you've actually done it illegally. Yeah. So just cop it on the chin. Like, keep your eyes up.
I don't know how you do your job. I praise you guys so well because I would lose my temper. I mean, I go back to my son. Mm. I remember once going, why did you draw on my wall? He goes, I didn't. He's standing there for black pet stuff, holding it. You know, like, but to this day, he was still denying
it. Literally red-handed.
And I can remember, I wanted to throw him out the window. Yeah. You know, like I just could not believe it.
Probably don't do throwing out the window part.
I mean, I wouldn't. No. I mean, look, in those days, he could fly.
Naughty corner, perhaps. So there's a little bit of theatrics involved in dealing with people every day that are blatantly lying to your face about what they did or didn't do.
And you can't threaten them, can you?
Not really. I would hope that just my mere presence, in fact, was perhaps a little bit of a influence on how they would behave. But look, it's just the way people don't like getting caught. They don't like admitting they've done the wrong thing and they certainly don't like getting fined. But
so from our perspective, if we are caught doing something, it is best just to be honest and say, yep, you're right, I was on it.
Well, I guess so, yes. But, you know, if you deny it and I've seen it and my, you know, if I'm working with someone, they've seen it, you're going to get booked.
Well, and you're not going to say, oh, okay, I
trust
you.
Yeah, you're just going to look like a bit of an idiot, really.
And then I would think as a police person, if you were arguing me about that, I think, all right, princess, let's check your ties.
Power of the pen. Let's have a look.
I just thought, you want to play?
Yeah.
Let's play.
I think also people that lie to the police with their kids in the car, like My dad's going to be upset at this story, but he got pulled over for not wearing his seatbelt once when I was about 7, and I was in the car at the time, and he did not have his seatbelt on, and he lied about it, and he didn't get booked, and I was mortified.
But did you say it in front of the policeman?
He said it in front of the policeman. I didn't say anything.
Because my children did that. I had a combi and we lived out of town and were driving back in. Mm. And that morning I dropped the kids off at the bus stop and my girlfriend's little child was in the front seat of my car going through my wallet and pulling out every card. Typical. Practicing. You pull them all off, you put them in your wallet. And I picked the kids up from driving home and the policeman pulled me over, random breath testing. I'm going through going, do you know, sir, my license not in here. I go, I've had a kid in the car this morning and I pulled everything out. Mm. My daughter, who's 6, turns around and goes, no, you didn't. And I've looked at her and I thought, yep. When I dropped you off at school, you do not know what. And I remember having to scream. And just as the policeman's looking at me going, you're an idiot, my license was down the side. So I pulled it up. I wasn't over the limit. I handed it. We moved on. And I drove around the corner, pulled up the car, got out, and then in comes the finger, you ever question me again in front of a policeman?
Like, no, I would never. I didn't know. I just sat there like I was mortified. And I remember it. I can tell you exactly where it was. Like I was 7, but I remember it. You're just setting such a bad example, though, lying to a police officer in front of your children.
Which is really bad. Because I'm sure my nana did that to me once. That was her favourite story, that I was being naughty and I was a terrible 4 or 5 year old to my nana, and she had said, if you misbehave one more time, I'm going to tell that policeman you're being naughty. And the policeman actually had a go at my nana and said, what you've done, you've actually going to make him scared of me rather than looking for the person.
Exactly.
And my nana actually, it made a big difference to her, the way she spoke about, you know, and it's not just police, it's all, you know, emergency
It happens
services.
All the time. You better clean your room, otherwise the police lady is going to take you away. And I'm like, well, if you get lost.
I used to use the naughty boys home to my children, naughty boys and girls home.
I hate that.
Didn't you? There was this, like, an old dump at the bottom of our hill. It was one of those houses that half fell down, and my children used to think that was the naughty kids. That's where the naughty kids were.
Now your kids will have fear of abandonment issues. Beck, we're in the middle of a very cold winter right now. Mm. We've got frost, rain, fog. I was up at the snow last week, and I saw a car spin around on ice.
And he wasn't texting while I was driving.
I wasn't texting while I was driving. So, the weather conditions are going to affect our safety, aren't they?
Definitely, definitely. And everybody should obviously be driving to the conditions. It's going to be super windy out there today. So all of those elevated roadways like the Westgate Freeway and the Balti Bridge, we need to drop our speed down.
Don't take my Vespa over the Westgate. It blows me off. Let me tell you.
As a fellow Vespa rider, not a hope would I be getting on the Balti today.
I did it once sillily. I'll never ever do it again.
So scary, isn't it? Really scary. But yeah, definitely drive into the conditions, especially in those icy conditions.
And also looking at the TAC's lives lost statistics, the figures jump for Victorians in age categories over 50. Mm. Do older drivers and pedestrians need to be more careful?
Well, all pedestrians need to be more careful because they're usually looking at their phone while they're walking, because we like to do more than one thing. Older drivers, definitely represent a lot higher proportion of the community. They're involved in collisions, injury.
Really?
And
I always thought it was young. Don't they always go like young
men? It just depends on the causation of it. But I think something that we need to remember is that driving is a skill. It's like a sport. Mm. You know, there's coordination involved, and I'm not sure about you guys, but I do not play basketball half as well as I did when I was 15. And so we think those neuro pathways that we've established over the years of driving, they diminish, and our skills are lost, and sometimes our brain function is lost a little bit. We need to.
I dubbed my grandfather in at 80.
And that's really important. And it was just,
did you?
Oh, my oath. And was, do you know what? The problem was I was scared he was going to hurt somebody else.
Mm.
And he was only driving very short distances, but because he was struggling, he had to lift his leg to change gears because his knees had gone. It was this whole, and I couldn't believe the doctor didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I was actually quite annoyed. So I went to the doctor and rang up.
I've never been to a collision involving somebody putting their foot on the wrong pedal that has not involved anybody other than an elderly driver.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that diminishes with age. So we have to be responsible for our own family, our own community. So sometimes that means dobbing people in.
Which meant I was stuck, because that meant I had to start going there a lot more than I was just to take them. But that's what you do.
It is. Don't underestimate the importance and how much of an effect taking somebody's independence away is. You know, psychologically, you're literally entering the last phase of your life. Can't drive anymore, relying on other people, becoming codependent.
And then have somebody upstart.
Exactly.
Start telling me what to do.
Exactly.
You know, I changed your nappy. You can't tell me what to do now.
Exactly. Yeah. I was, driving well before you were born.
But there's something in today's Herald Sun saying motorists are incurring $45,000 a day in fines, which is $16.4 million per year at one city crossing. Mm. And that's at the corner of King and Latrobe Streets.
Yeah, that's right.
So avoid that area at all costs.
It's caught more than 9,400 motorists over a period of just 6 weeks.
The voluntary tax intersection.
Is that what it's called, the voluntary tax intersection?
Well, I think I might call it that.
But this is where everyone, I heard it on the news yesterday and going on about saying it's just a money spinner for the government and all that. At the end of the day, you broke the law. There has to be, you're speeding, we all know.
It's not uncommon for people to forget that the speed limit is the limit. It's the limit. If it's 40, guess what? It's 41 40. Is speeding.
Yeah.
You're not going to be booked at 41, but obviously the threshold is reasonably low. It's about 5%. So, if it's 40, stick to 40 and then you don't have to pay those fines. It's a voluntary thing.
The city is now 40 k's per hour, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The HODL grid has been 40 k's for quite some time, I would say. At a guess, about 8 years. So that's, Latrobe, Spencer, Spring and Flinders. That's all been 40 for that long. So that's not new. But we are increasingly seeing more streets becoming 40, depending on how heavy the pedestrian area is. Halebury School is now on King Street up that end near Latrobe. So that's been dropped down to 40. Anywhere those sort of shopping precincts. And then, of course, we've got those timed 40 zones. So, for example, on Lygon Street in East Brunswick, it's timed till midnight. And then it becomes 60 again. But again, I mean, this is not new. The limit is the limit. So if you don't want to pay a fine, then don't speed.
Well, this intersection, I think, is getting 107, on average, 137 people speeding a day.
It's crazy.
That's 7 red light runners a day. So an orange light does not mean speed up.
No. In fact, it means stop. The road rule says if it's yellow, you have to stop. Unless there's a couple of exemptions. So it's the fine and the demerit points are the same as going through a red light.
Beck, we've been asking listeners to send through their questions about road rules and safety.
We've got lots of questioners for listeners here.
That's right. We're joined by leading senior constable Beck Lawther from the Victorian Police Highway Patrol.
But you wanted to ask one first, didn't you?
I want to ask one first. Mm-hmm. So my puppy dog, Fuzzy Bear, whenever he's in the car, he sits in the back seat and I have him, he's attached.
Yes, sweetheart, it's illegal to hang it out the car when you're driving around the street.
He gets car sickness,
and
I have to have the window open, and he sticks just his snout out the window. So, there's probably, 10 centimetres out. He doesn't stick his whole body out. Is that illegal?
No, it's not. No, that's okay. Fine.
But unless your dog has to be restrained, if your dog's, a seatbelt.
Like if it's a vicious dog?
If it's restrained on a seatbelt in the back seat of the car with its head a little bit out, you're safe.
Do you have to restrain dogs?
You have to restrain them if they're in the back of a ute.
In a tray, an open tray.
So not in the car.
But not in the car. I would always recommend that you do because it's your dog.
Yeah.
And you don't want your delightful Bichon Frise going through the windscreen.
No.
And certainly not on the driver's lap. So that's against the law. So no dogs on laps.
Right.
Preferably in the back seat. And if you have them harnessed, then obviously like anybody else, they're going to survive collision a lot better. And also, if you have an unrestrained dog, irrelevant of the size, if you're involved in a collision, they're going to hurt you because they're a little marble in a jar.
Oh, of course.
Mm. I remember talking to my daughters about that when she first started uni, about putting those medical textbooks on the back, the back of the car, which she would do.
Flying bricks.
And somebody said that if you slam on your brakes, that book and those medical books is going to come.
Even a box of tissues turns into a brick.
I never thought of that when you just said that. It's very true. You hit your brakes, everything in that car becomes a projectile
There was a collision about 10 years ago, maybe more. I didn't attend it, but a man died, unfortunately, in the collision, and we couldn't work out why, and it was because a pen came flying through from the back and just happened to get him in the neck. So anything loose in the car, does potentially become, a hazard involved in a collision, especially a little dog.
We've got some questions here from Amy and her mum.
Mm.
And can certain types of cough syrup give you a blood alcohol reading?
So some cough syrups do have alcohol in them. You'd have to consume a fair amount of cough syrup to be over the legal limit, but I think you might have some other issues if you're consuming that much cough syrup.
Is this the same with my poppy seed muffin in the morning, or is this an old wives' tale? No, officer, I haven't taken any opium. Poppy seed muffins.
I just had 412 poppy seed muffins.
So, it's the whole movie joke thing, but you'd have to eat 14 truckloads of poppies. Yeah,
you would have some significant other medical issues if you were over the limit drinking that much cough syrup.
And so you
probably would struggle getting the tiny little key and the tiny little admission hole to start with.
What about mouthwash? If you get pulled over for a breath test, you gargle because, oh, my breath stinks.
Yeah.
And that's got alcohol in it.
Right. So it will come back with a very high reading, but it's mouth alcohol. So unless you're chugging it and swallowing it, it doesn't actually go into your bloodstream. It just sits in your mouth. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, it dissipates. So if you do have a reading, the preliminary test, you get taken back for an evidentiary test. And by the time we do that, which we always wait 15 minutes, the mouth alcohol's gone.
I've seen that on that highway patrol show, which is great. And he said, oh, I only just had a drink. And she said, well, we can wait 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that means it could go to your bloodstream. It could make you over as well.
Yeah,
so you could throw it both ways.
Yeah, specifically with mouthwash, it does dissipate. And certainly don't swallow mouthwash because it's disgusting, but it may be very sick. But it will dissipate and you'll end up with zero.
Oh, I like that one. They've also got here, can you be fined for beeping your horn while you're saying goodbye?
Who are you saying goodbye to, and
to
how long's the beep?
So it all depends.
And at 2 a.m. in the morning.
There is an offence of an inappropriate use of an emergency warning device or a horn, and it's generally something that we would pull somebody over for who is being a bit of an idiot on, say, Chapel Street or, you know.
So if you're driving down going,
yeah. It's there. But if you
remember those good old horns in the 70s? They used to
that is a different kettle of fish.
You don't have them anymore,
are
you?
That's just outrightly offensive. So, but no,
you just
it's
destroyed
not
my whole childhood. I mean, that's all we did was
Christmas is over. I'm sorry.
Amy also asked, can you be fined for drying your nails outside your car window while driving?
Oh, so many follow up questions. Let's talk about that. Why are her nails wet?
So she's putting her nails on.
While she's driving.
A lot of girls do that, don't they? They put their makeup on. Well, and
while she's driving, she's painting her nails.
Well, they usually do it at the lights, don't they?
Well, then we've got other issues. Actually, putting your hand out the window, as long as it's not significantly outside, you know, past, say, the revision mirror, that's fine. But I'm concerned that she's painting her nails while she's driving.
And as long as her toenails aren't hanging out.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Brendan's asked a question. How do I know if the speedo in my car is accurate? And what happens if I'm pulled over for speeding but I didn't know because my speedo was wrong?
Oh, that's a good question. A lot of people come up with that excuse. your responsibility when you get into any car is to ensure that the speedo is accurate.
To me, that just sounds like logic.
It is logic.
It is your if you own the car and you get into it, it is your responsibility.
Make sure it's registered. Correct. Make sure it's roadworthy, which includes making sure the speedo is correct. All vehicles are manufactured with a variation in the speedo. They're allowed to be slightly inaccurate. They'll always be inaccurate in the negative, so they'll always show something that's slower than what it is.
Because I'm convinced that mine, when I say 100 k's, it's really only doing 98 because it annoys me. I'm convinced
just
it's a little.
You.
No, but I'm sure. You know, sometimes I think, no, I'm not happy with this.
Sometimes the speedo can be altered if you're changing the wheels, so the dimension of the wheel. But you can always, if you're concerned, you can always take it to your to get it serviced, and they'll put it on a dyno and make sure it's correct.
Are those speed tests correct? You know, sometimes you see them on freeways and
it's a good indicator,
right? But
not reliable.
Yeah,
no.
And it doesn't show more than 116 because you shouldn't be going more than 110.
No.
I like this one here. Steph wants to know, using your smartwatch while driving.
That's a great question as well.
Because we've all changed now to this.
We have. I've got one on as we speak.
That's very nice.
Thank you so
much. Not as ugly as Andy's.
Yes, as well. Yeah. it is classified as a mobile phone.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you use it for any other reason other than, you know, if we want to go by the letter of the law, actually having it on your wrist is an offence. Because you're
while you're driving.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's by the letter of the law.
Of course.
The only.
So if you're an idiot who wants to argue with the policeman, it could be
the
something.
The power of the pen might come out.
That's when you're going to.
You have a smartwatch on your wrist. No, I think there's the general consensus is it is classified as a mobile phone. It's capable of making, sending and receiving communications. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, turning the bezel on it or operating it while you're driving, could cop you a ticket.
I think we need to bring in a law, like a dick law.
A what?
Like just a dick law. You know, if a if someone from the services pull you over and that you're being told that you didn't indicate and you want to start arguing, you should just go straight up, you know what, you're a dick. You know what I mean? Boom. You're going, yeah.
That's probably the most magical thing I've heard in my entire career.
Or even I think we should squash more cars.
Oh,
I mean,
that would crushing. Really get him. And Mobile car crushers.
I want to do it on the freeway. I want to see their face. Don't take it away. You're doing it in some secret back alley. If you were dragging down my street, I want it to be squashed in
front of me. Well, we do impound it. And sometimes watching a car going up on a tow truck is quite a cathartic moment for a police officer such as myself.
It's horrible for the owner of the car, though.
Yeah. Right? A little bit, yeah. A couple of little tears and...
A couple more questions. Mm-hmm. Carly's asked, I don't think you should be driving under the influence at all. Are there any talks about reducing the blood alcohol limit or making it zero?
So just recently, on 1st of April, we came in with some massive changes with penalties, and there's no more. So we used to have a 10 demerit point ticket for a first offending drink driver who blew between 0.05 and 0.07, and that's gone now. It's immediately 3 months cancellation of your license.
So no court?
No court for a first offence.
Well, this is kind of good. This is going to free up our courts.
Mm.
And there's no ways, because everyone goes to court and goes, oh, I need my car for my job. I've got 15.
So isn't it funny how people
you're done.
All of a sudden realise how much they need their car after they've lost their license?
Oh, but I've got children.
There's no
forward
planning there.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't think we're going to reduce it to zero. There's just too many variances. So 0.02, it could be a possibility, but I don't think zero will ever come in.
What's more common these days, drink or drug driving?
For me, I've got, you know, when you are looking to buy a new car and then you see that car everywhere?
Yeah.
So I'm like that with drug drivers. All I see is drug drivers. All I seem to catch is drug drivers.
Really?
Like,
Can you tell just by looking?
Oh, like? So many things. The person, the car, whether they make too much eye contact with me, not enough eye contact with me, where they are at what time, what they're doing in the car, a whole bunch of things that I process real quickly and I'm like, meth.
You must be a parent. This is like parenting, isn't it? You pick your children up. I could tell if you buggers have been up to something because they don't make eye contact. They don't, you know, this is not normal. You know,
so you've got a crayon in your hand.
Yeah. One last question, Tom, on SMS.
Oh, yeah, we've got one here. Are you allowed to beep or flash someone who's sitting in the right-hand lane going under the speed limit?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm. My suggestion would be just change lanes and pass them on the left.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, no, on a multi-lane road. So if it's the speed limit is over 80, then you can't sit in the right-hand lane. That's an offence. You can pass them, though. You can move to the middle lane and then pass them and then back into the right lane. Beeping, certainly flashing your high beam lights is unlawful unless you're using them lawfully, so, you know, for better vision.
So it's the whole days when you'd see the policeman up ahead and you used to flash your high beams at all the oncoming cars.
Exactly.
So you tell them there's a policeman up there.
Yeah.
I think in the old days when we used to drive down the highway, they used to go, the barbecue is hot.
Yeah.
Well, that was on the CB. That was used to listen
to the
barbecue
is hot.
And it meant something. They used to put, like, the strips out on the road. And there was all these secret codes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I certainly probably wouldn't be beeping someone in the right lane. Just slow down, overtake
them. Especially if you're driving to worry because they're probably going to shoot you.
So, you know, road rage is a bit of a hot topic at the moment. So we try and prevent any unnecessary confrontation.
It's actually been quite terrible, hasn't it?
It's pretty bad.
People getting really angry.
Yeah, they are. People are mad.
Well, hopefully we don't ever meet Beck out on the roads. If you want to learn more about what she gets up to, you can catch her on the Glow Show. Go to joy.org.au or iTunes, search for GLLO. And from the August the 6th, the Glow Show goes live Monday evenings here on Joy 94.9.
Pretty exciting
stuff. Which is
great.
Very exciting.
Leading Senior Constable Beck Lawther, thanks for coming in today.
Shall I finish this off with an English accent?
Go ahead, Governor.
Such a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you, boys, and I'll maybe see you another time.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.